I must be skillful in knowing my own mind. However, it's such difficult to know our own mind. Why? Because Buddha further said, the mind is so difficult to detect. And the mind itself, the nature of the mind itself is so subtle. So, and it changes so fast. Therefore, our mindfulness, we are not trained in mindfulness. And it becomes difficult to detect the mind. Let me give you an example. Let's say you walk from one place to another place. Have you ever know what's happening in your mind when you walk from one place to another place? Or you let loose your mind, you let here and there without guard the mind. I think most people let loose the mind. Even sometimes when after my breakfast, I go for a walk. I start with loving kindness meditation. May all beings be well and happy. And I end up with other things. I do not end up with loving kindness meditation. To myself or expecting what will be happen in the future or recollecting. At least I know my mind end up in landed in somewhere. No? But for most people, they don't even know that. If you know you start one thing and end up in another thing, it means that you have some mindfulness of your mind. You know what's happening in your mind. But for most people, their mind is blurred, not clear, and mindfulness is muddled. So from such short distance from one place to another place, we can't even know our mind. We can't even know what's happening in our mind. There are two reasons for this. First is the nature of the mind is so difficult to detect. Second is we never practice mindfulness of our mind. Therefore, the mind starts with one thing and up with another thing. Okay. So Buddha said, the mind is so difficult to detect and is shift actually extremely subtle. And let me give you another example from Dhammapada also. There was a monk. There was a young person. His uncle is very famous Mahathera. So inspired by his uncle's reputation, so he decided to become a monk. So he takes ordination under his uncle, the Mahathera. And then he spent his vasa for 3 months. After vasa, he got luckily, he's very lucky that he got the 5 robes offered to him. Then he thought, I'm a young monk, I should not wear such fine robe. I should offer to my uncle so that I can get more merit. So he presented this 5 robe to his uncle. And his uncle Mahathera thought to himself, he said that, I am Mahathera. Every year, there are so many people offer me very good, fine robes. I don't need the robe, he thought to himself. Then he said, I better don't accept his robe, so that he can wear himself. Therefore, the uncle, Mahathera, told to him, said, no, I'm not going to accept your robe. But this young monk did not understand his uncle's good intention. He thought, his uncle did not like him. So he feel very depressed, upset, and disappointed. And the uncle know his mind. In order to show his good relation with him, then he asked him to go behind him and try to fan him. All the time, we don't use this standing fan one. We use use hand to fan somebody. But this young monk, because initially he thought his uncle didn't like him. So while fanning him, his mind kept on thinking. Say that since my uncle did not like me, then I am going to disrobe. said, I'm going to restroke. After restroking, I will sell this rope. After selling this rope, I got some money. So I can go and buy some chicken. I go and buy some chicken, and after some time, the chicken hatch more eggs. So I get more chicken. Then I will sell all the chicken and get a calf, a few calf. Then when you grow up, become cow, then and keep on thinking, planning in the future what to do with that rope. And yet he did not know, he is wondering. You see the episode, the story, one after another. And he didn't even know, he's wondering. You are thinking of what is not happening. You are planning in the future. And yet he did not know. This Buddha mean, the mind is very difficult to detect. It's actually subtle and sweet. So after, then he think himself, and after the got all a cow, and I can work in a farm. So I get more money. When I get more money, I want to marry. So I will marry with a young woman, then give birth to a son. Then I will bring my wife and my son to pay respect to my uncle. So he's dreaming up to married and giving a son already, got a son already, you see? And yet he still don't know, he's dreaming. I just want to show how the mind is so difficult to detect. Then he said that, okay, so then I bring my wife and my son, then we go in a horse cart. In the horse cart, I try to fetch. To call my dear son, but my wife doesn't allow me. So I get very angry. I take a stick and hit my wife's head. At that time, he still not realize he is dreaming. So he used his pen and hit the Mahathera's head. And the Mahathera know how to read his mind. He said that you cannot hit your wife, why you come and hit my head? And he got so alarmed, so frightened and want to run away. So from this story, we can know. Most of the time, our mind is dreaming. We live in illusion, delusion. Especially when you cannot get the thing you want. Then you can dream in. No one can control your mind, right? You can dream in to have Mercedes, to have big house, to get a another second wife, you know? Because your wife may not know you are dreaming to get a second wife, right? This is called, the mind is so difficult to detect. It's very subtle and extremely sweet. And our mindfulness, since we are not trained in the mindfulness, our mindfulness cannot follow the fast changing of the mind. Okay. So Buddha said, now the mind is very difficult to detect, extremely subtle and sweet, then the mind desires, the mind seizes whatever it desires. The mind seizes whatever it desires through eye, through nose, through tongue, and through body, and through mind. For example, when an eye sees a beautiful, let's say a man's eye sees a beautiful woman, and the mind will quickly seize that beautiful object. Whether you can get it or not, it's a reaction of the mind. Seize it quickly, and the mind feels satisfied. Similarly, the nose will seize all the beautiful music or the praise. When people praise you, you quickly seize it and feel very satisfied, feel very happy. Similarly, the tongue also will seize what the tongue desires, the delicious food and so on. And the mind also will seize what the mind desires, just like the story I related just now. And to let you understand more how the mind sees whatever it desires, I would like to relate another story. This happened in Burma. I think it happened in Sri Lanka or Burma. I think it's a real story. during olden time, when the donor, the invite monk to come and give a speech. And during olden time, the monk will pull a fan in front of him to not let the audience see him. Pull the fan in front of him. And at that day, the monk's fan, monk got one hole on the fence. And in the Burmese or Sri Lanka tradition, they will put a basket of nana in front of the preaching hall. So when the monk give a talk, so through the hole, he can see that nana and people can see the audience through the small holes. So after he give a talk, after finished, and his brother, the donor's brother, came late. And he wanted, because he's very close to the monk, so he wanted the monk to tell him what is the talk about. And the monk is very honest, because as a monk, we cannot tell lies. So the monk told him that, I cannot really remember what I have talked, because when my eyes see through, then I only see that banana. And my mind keep on thinking, are they going to fry banana for me tomorrow? How are they going to serve me the banana? So my mind is indulged in how are they going to serve me this banana. So I don't really remember what I talk about. And the brother feel very disappointed. But the monk said that, why not you ask your brother? Because your brother also attended my talk. So the younger brother also go and ask the donor. Because I keep it, I'm so eager to listen to the monk's talk. Why not you repeat to me? And the brother said that, when the talk started, my mind just start counting how much I pay today for the expenses to offer to the audience who come and to offer to the monk, and how much I get from people when they come, they bring me some dana. So how much is the expenses and how much I get? So my mind is so busy, I think all this, I don't really listen to the talk. I also don't know about the talk. What a talk about. So from this story, we also can understand, you see, the mind is seldom living at the present moment. Maybe now your body is here, but I cannot see your mind. Whether your mind is with the talk or not, I do not know. Same with the brother. Although he's sitting there 1 hour, 2 hours, his mind is keep on counting how much I gain today, how much I have to pay off today. He don't even understand. He can't listen the Dhamma talk well. So this is called the mind desires. The mind seizes whatever it desires. This desire is called Chanda or called Loba. The mind only tend to things, or the mind inclined to things you like only. Things you cannot buy, you won't pay attention. So therefore, the mind seizes whatever it desires. And the wise man guard the mind. Why should we guard the mind? Only a wise man know how to guard the mind. But we can ask ourselves, why should I guard my mind? For what reason I should guard my mind? Any answer? Do you intend to guard your mind? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. Why you want to guard your mind? Okay. Because Buddha say another verse. He said that just like water naturally flow into low place, right? Water never go up to the high place. By nature, it flows into low place. Similarly, the nature of the mind inclined to evil. the nature of the mind delights in evil. So if we, as a Buddhist, we understand the law of karma, right? So if we do not guard our mind, and the nature of the mind, it flows to the evil. So evil means the mind is with loba, greed, hatred, delusion, jealousy, competition, arrogance, conceit, wrong view, and so on. So when the mind is associated with all this unwholesome mental state, it's called mental karma. And if you cannot control, if you cannot control this mental karma, then it will spread to the vaji karma, speech, and to the bodily karma. And as a Buddhist, we also understand when there is karma, there is vipaka, there is effect. Talking about the law of karma, I want to mention to you there are three types of karma related to its effect. First one is called current life, this life, present life. Current life effective karma. The karma you done this lifetime will happen, will bear the result in this same lifetime. The second one is called next life effective karma. The karma done this life, mature next life. Another one is called indefinite effective karma. It means that the karma you have performed this life will never exhausted. From life, it carry on from life to life until you attain parinibbana. So this karma is very frightening. So whenever condition favorable, this indefinitely effective karma will take place. Then we suffer accordingly because the karma, the evil karma we have performed. Okay, now I'm going to explain you how this karma works. Let's say the first one is called current life effective karma. For example, you get very angry. When you get very angry, the mind becomes very hot. And the mental state, the hot mind, the anger mind will produce four elements in the body. What are the four elements? Earth element, water element, fire element, and wind element. Every mental state will produce four elements in the body. And the anger mind will produce four elements in the body. Among these four elements, there is one element called fire. Fire will become very excessive because of the anger. So the body becomes very hot. And when you get very angry, the face turns to red, and the body also very hot. And even worse, because of that fire, then the wind element also become excessive. So somebody when get angry, the whole body shake, and the heart pump very fast. If this time he got heart disease, then it's very dangerous for him. So this is called current life. Not to say current life, on the spot, when you get angry, it seems that the unwholesome state is punishing you at this moment because you feel very horrible, very hot, and the heart pump very fast and the whole body shaking. So before the action, before you take action, the unwholesome mental karma already punish you and let you feel very uncomfortable. So cause and effect very fast. Very fast you can see cause and effect. And if you cannot control, if you cannot control your mind, then you put into action, you will score somebody, you will hit somebody, and at that time, you hurt someone. And when you hurt someone, do you think that person will not take grudge? Most people will take grudge. They will take grudge, they will wait opportunity to take revenge. And when the revenge occurs, you suffer accordingly. Maybe in this present life. I will give you an example where I read from newspaper. There was an Indian man. Nowadays in India, there are so many rape cases. I think you can read from newspaper. So this Indian man, unable to control his sexual lust, so he raped one young girl. And this young girl, after being raped, she suffered a lot. She suffered mentally, physically, and she cannot forget that type of suffering. So every day she cried and cried. And her father feel very suffering, feel very painful when he see her daughter suffer mentally, both mentally and physically. So one day, her father cannot stand. He took a knife and go to the man's house and kill the man and cut off his sexual organ. Take revenge because he suffered, and when he see his daughter suffer, he even suffered more. So cannot, unable to bear this type of mental suffering, then he take revenge, cut off this man's sexual organ and kill him, and he also surrender himself to the police. Because he killed people, he cannot run away from the law, the punishment from the law. So he surrender himself to the police. So from this case, you can see the Indian man who raped a girl just for 20 minutes to satisfy his sexual urge. But finally, he end up being killed. Worthy or not? Not worthy. Right? For 20 minutes satisfaction, you pay your life. Not only that, you hurt a young girl who cannot forget that suffering throughout her life. This is called current life effective karma. Last time we tend to quote from Sutta, from Dhammapada story, but nowadays there are so many life stories, present time, this modern age. You can see the law of karma operate in this current life, in this present life. You don't have to quote the old 2000 years story already. So every time I read, I only quote this cause and effect, the law of karma, so that I can give Dhamma talk to support my point. Why? Because everybody knows this type of things. And so there are so many. And one man also, Indian man, I think he stole something, then was being caught by the villagers. And all the villagers tied his hand and leg behind and put on the ant's heel to let all the ants bite him. So stolen, cause and effect. It's called current life effective karma. Okay, then the question comes, why this person have to suffer like that? The criminal. Why? Because of his evil mind. Because of evil mind. But also because he is unable to guard his mind. Let's say anger arises, you're mindful of your anger. You're mindful of it. Note it, observe it. Then anger will pass away. Because sabbe sankara anicca, nothing is permanent. So you hold your mindfulness, look at it, soon it passed away. When the anger passed away, when the lust, the sexual lust passed away, then you will not put into evil action. You will not do akusala karma. You will not perform unwholesome action. Then you are safe. Then you won't hurt other people. You save yourself and you save other people. This is the first reason that you should guard your mind. A guarded mind brings happiness. For second reason, the karma doesn't end that. For example, the Indian girl, Indian man, he was killed. The karma doesn't end at the current life. he will be reborn in one of the four woeful states. Next slide. So next slide, he will suffer a lot in the hell, in the animal kingdom, in the hungry ghost realm, and so on. This is called next life effective karma. Next life, he didn't suffer only one life. He may suffer indefinitely until he becomes arahant. From this one, I have to quote from Dhammapada's story. There was a monk. He was supported in one lay person, and he stayed in one temple, supported by one lay person. One day, there was another monk came to stay in that temple. And this newcomer monk looks very serene, and he got his faculties. And this donor respect this newcomer monk very much. So out of respect, the donor invited them, now two monks, to come together for house dhamma. And this, the resident monk start to feel very jealous over the newcomer monk. So the monk also like human beings. This defilements, kilesa, defilements of the mind, whenever there's opportunity, we call latent defilements, will come to the surface. No, regardless of whether you are a lay person or a monk or a nun. So what is important is to guard it. We are not afraid of it when it arises, but we are afraid that when it arises, we do not know how to guard it. So lay person, monk, unless you are arahant. So the latent defilements will always come to the surface, then affect you. So when this the resident monk, he feel jealous about the newcomer. Then he talked to himself, if this newcomer is going to stay long because it's so well respected by my donor, if he's well respected, then I think he's going to stay long. If he stay long, I have to share all my gains, my gains, my offering, my property with him. No, he should not stay long here. So the jealousy arose in his mind, and yet he did not practice mindfulness to guard his mind. This mind is very difficult to detect, Buddha said. Defilement also very tricky. Sometimes you do not know, you carry away by the defilements. So this monk also forgot himself was a monk. Then he said, okay. Then the donor asked him, tomorrow please bring the newcomer monk to my house. The resident monk said, okay. Then tomorrow morning, 4 o'clock, usually we get up 3:30 or 4 o'clock a.m. And in a monastery, usually we strike the gong. So this morning, he struck the gong with his finger. No sound can hear. But he already performed the duty, striking the gong. Then after that, 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, he went alone. He went alone to the donor, to donor's house to accept the house dhamma. So when he arrived there, the donor asked him, where is the newcomer monk? He said that he is still sleeping because I already struck the gong. He didn't come up, so I come alone. Then the donor said, never mind, you bring back the food for him. You finish your food first, then you bring the rest of the food for him because he's new. So the resident monk bring back the food. Halfway back to his monastery, he feel his mind is overwhelmed with jealousy. So he cannot stand, he cannot control his jealousy, he cannot guard his jealousy. He said that, why my donor treat this young man so good, treat this newcomer so good. I'm not going to let him eat. So So he throw away all the food being offered to the monk. At that time, the newcomer monk, he was Arahant, and he got psychic power. He can read the resident monk's mind. Then he thought to himself, if I continue to stay here, this resident monk will continue to commit more and more akusala karma, right? That's not good for him. So out of compassion for him, I should leave. So he, using his psychic power, fly away. Then when he fly in the sky, the resident monk saw him. At that time, he knew that he had committed very bad karma towards the Arahant. So later on, he was regret throughout his life. And after that, he was reborn in hell. And suffered being tortured in the hell for many, many lifetimes. So this is the result of not guarding one's mind. If he can guard his mind by way of mindfulness, he can guard, the mind affected by jealousy. As the mind affected by jealousy, jealousy is only cause. Then it's not a person. Jealousy mind is not a person, it's just a cause, triggered by certain things. So if you can mindful, then jealousy is impermanent, not a self, then jealousy will pass away. When that jealousy pass away, then he will not commit such heavy karma. Right? So after that, after being born so many lifetimes in hell, and he came up as a human. The moment he was born in village, fishing village. The moment he was born, all the villagers cannot get a fish because of his heavy karma. What we say called, Chinese we call gong ye, the karma share, sometimes share. So his heavy karma will affect the people living around him. So all the fishermen cannot get a fish. So they become very surprised. This never happened to us. So they try to investigate what is the cause. For this reason, so find out there's a new born baby in one house. So they ask this new born baby had to leave the village, and then the mother has no choice. So his mother take him and leave the village and go begging. And whenever his mother go begging with this kid, slowly he grown up, his mother also cannot get any clothes. So finally, his mother said, no, you go your way, I go my way, otherwise I also have nothing to eat. You see his karma, so heavy karma. So this pitiful kid, guy, is a young boy. So finally, he wander in the street, begging food, and most of the time cannot get any food. But one day, fortunately, he met Venerable Sariputta. Out of compassion for this pitiful boy, Venerable Sariputta brought him back to the monastery and ordained him as a Samareva. Still, when he go out to beg food as a Samareva, he also cannot get food. And Venerable Sariputta also pity him. Notice how pitiful is no food to eat, must always suffer from starvation. So one day, Venerable Sariputta think, okay, like, you follow me. Because I'm Venerable Sariputta, everybody know me. So when they see me, they will offer me food. Then you can get food to eat. Unfortunately, when he followed Venerable Sariputta, even Venerable Sariputta, such a famous monk, also cannot get a food. So you see his karma. Very serious karma. All this suffering come from unable to guard one's mind. If he can guard his mind by way of mindfulness, by way of wisdom, he didn't have to suffer that much. This is called indignantly effective karma. So many lifetimes already, he still suffer from hunger because he threw away the food offered to the Arahant. If the food offered to the ordinary person, the karma may not be so heavy. But the food is being offered to Arahant, and he threw away the food of Arahant out of jealousy, then he had to suffer many lifetimes. Even in his last life, when finally he tried very hard, when he met with Venerable Sariputta, he tried very hard because he remembered, he knows he's suffering so much. He knows he suffered from life to life, from life to lifetime. So he practiced very hard. Finally, he attained Arahant. But before he attained Arahant, he kept on paying his debt. Bad consequences, we call vipakam, akusala vipakam. So all this suffering come from not being able to guard one's mind. So come back to the question, why should we guard our own mind? Because if we do not guard our own mind, the refinements of mind force us to perform akusala karma. Force us to perform unwholesome karma. Every unwholesome karma, whether good or unwholesome karma, leave behind karmic energy. And this karmic energy can ripen, whether in this present life, we call current life effective karma, or next life, we call next life effective karma, or indefinitely effective karma, throughout the samsara until you become arahant. Even if you become Arahant, you still have to pay off your debt, just like Venerable Moggallana. Venerable Moggallana already become Arahant, and he is foremost in psychic power. But how he died? He was bitten by so many robbers, until all the bones, scar become as tiny as grain. So his psychic power also cannot fight with the Akusara unwholesome result, although he has become Arahant, until he entered Parinibbana. No more mind and body, then he's completely free from unwholesome result. Therefore, in order not to hurt other people and to protect yourself, we have to guard our mind. So a wise man guards his mind. A guarded mind brings happiness. Now we come to the last stage, how to guard our mind. I have mentioned by way of mindfulness and wisdom. In the four foundations of mindfulness, number one is mindfulness of body. Second, mindfulness of feeling. Third, mindfulness of mind. Fourth, mindfulness of dharma. So mindfulness of mind is one way of the practice. So how to practice this mindfulness of mind? Now first, you must train your mindfulness. Whatever happened, whatever occurred in your middle state, you must know it. But to know it is very difficult. Just now I have said, you don't know what is your mind thinking about. Because your mind is not with the mind. Your mindfulness is not with the mind. So if you know what's happening about your mind thinking here and there, and you do not know you are thinking. You do not know your mind is wandering, just like the young monk. So, in order to guard your mind, first you must practice mindfulness. If you cannot directly mindful of your mind, you practice mindfulness of the body first. Because body is very, it's gross compared with the mind. Mind is very subtle, body is very gross. So when walking, you can aware of your footstep, there's a wind element, then you just contemplate wind element. And after that, your eyes see something beautiful, then you see the greed, at last, the grief has arisen in your mind, then you turn to the mind, aware of the grief. Then you contemplate a mind affected by grief as a mind affected by grief. This is recommended by the Buddha in Satipatthana Sutta, Four Foundations of Mindfulness. When you walk from one place to another place, you mindful of your body first. Directly mindful of the mind is very difficult. So you mindful of your body first, okay, wind element, or when your feet touch the floor, you feel hardness. Then you see the hardness, earth element, one element enough. Too many elements, your mindfulness is too slow to follow. So you choose one, either wind element or earth element. Then after you walk for some time, then you hear some music come. If you are mindful, then you check your mind, whether your mind delight in it or not, delight in the music or not. So if your mind delight in the music, you forget the wind element already. You continue listen, not only continue listen, you also want to sing together. At that time you know you're not mindful and no more mindfulness. Then you know, come back, wind element. Then when you see the delight, the grit, the lust for the sweet sound, then you contemplate the mind affected by grit as a mind affected by grit. You let go of the wind element, earth element. Keep on contemplating a mind affected by greed and so on. Or when you walk from one place to another place, when somebody come and scold you, if you are not mindful, somebody suddenly come and scold you, I think most people will fight back, right? Because no mindfulness. So fight back is an automatically reaction. You fight back. But with mindfulness, when that insulting word strike your ear, then you will contemplate. Unpleasant ear contact. Because of contact, anger arises. Then you contemplate a mind affected by anger as a mind affected by anger. So when your mind is busy, contemplating a mind affected by anger, then you wouldn't get angry. You contemplate in this way, then you will see the anger subside. When you see anger subside, then you don't have to fight back. But another person is very tired scolding you. After some time, he feels very tired. But you are enjoying your contemplation. So who is the loser? He is the loser, not you, right? And because he scold you, then he create unwholesome karma. He have to pay his unwholesome karma. And you are contemplating, you are developing your mindfulness, you are developing your wisdom. So you are the winner, he is the loser. But if you fight back, you are worse than him already. You become worse than him. Therefore, I say a guarded mind brings happiness. And a guarded mind brings happiness means you fight with your own defilements. You don't fight with other people. Any greed, jealousy, anger that arise in your mind, you fight with it. You don't fight with other people. Therefore, as a practitioner, we always fight with our own defilements. Otherwise, there's no happiness. Buddha said, the harm, an enemy can harm oneself, but unguarded mind harm oneself even more. External enemy, your enemy can harm us. Yes, it's true. But Buddha said, unguarded mind. If you don't guard your mind, that unguarded mind harms you even more than an enemy can do for you. Therefore, as a Buddhist practitioner, we must always practice this mindfulness and wisdom. Let me repeat again, what is mindfulness? What do you understand mindfulness? Mindfulness means aware be present and aware of what's happening at this moment in your body or mind. Let's say in the mind, jealousy arises in you, so mindfulness knows it, aware of it, hold it, and the mindfulness stays in the middle. Mindfulness does not judge, this is good, this is bad, no. Just know the mind is affected by jealousy as a mind affected by jealousy. A mind affected by anger as a mind affected by anger. So mindfulness keep on noting, keep on knowing, keep on aware of your mental state. Hold it for some time. Now, later on, we can apply wisdom. This mind affected by anger is impermanent. Mind affected by anger is suffering. Mind affected by anger is not a self. It's just a mental state, not a self. Just a mental state. You keep on contemplate in this way, then you will see it's just a mental state, really not a self. When it's not a self, you won't react. And some with keen wisdom, you will see that anger subside. That jealousy subside. Then you don't have to react anymore. You save yourself and you won't hurt other people. This is the aim. As a practitioner, this is the aim of whole Buddhism. We protect ourselves and we won't hurt other people. So for this reason, Buddha said, mind is very difficult to detect. It's extremely subtle, swift, and the mind seizes whatever it desires. A wise man guards his mind. A guarded mind brings happiness. Okay, I think that much is enough for today. We open for questions.
Thank you very much to Sally. So now we are having, we will have a question and answer session. So anyone would like to ask a question? We have half an hour before we break off for lunch dinner. So don't miss this opportunity. If anyone wants to write on a piece of paper, then I can help to read the question also. Or if you are more comfortable in saying in Mandarin, I think it's fine also. Sally, is it okay? You can also ask in Mandarin.
You also can ask any question out of this topic. No problem.
Mm-hmm.
他走了他就抓到鱼了他怎么没鱼啊你没有抓你就杀生了怎样解释呢衣服如果他怎么想的话他就会做衣服了明白吗我们是站在以衣服的角度来看这是他的生气如果他会想说哇我不抓到鱼我就不杀生那他就会当鱼服了这样奇怪的那是因为你以佛教的角度来看 但是衣服是以他的角度来看，然后我也是很努力，避免他们不用杀生了嘛，也是有点很多水产啊，一定是很多，他也避免有，那水产被杀生。那他们怎么生活？全部要饿死了。所以一件事情，看你用什么角度来看。我们现在是学佛了，我们但是用佛教的角度来看嘛，对不对？如果我们没有学佛，我们肯定不会以这种角度来看。 那台湾建造不到一千步都饿死，也是不行。那如果他们害怕英国，他们也不会当衣服的。
Sally, can I ask a question regarding the story that Sally told us just now? The part where the mother and the child went to beg for food, then the mother also cannot get food. So the mother asked the boy to go by himself and they go separate ways. From a Buddhist point of view, I think it's very morally very wrong for the mother to leave the child.
The mother has to survive also. Otherwise, two die. Otherwise, two die together.
Because sometimes,
it's the child's karma. Sometimes cannot blame the mother. It's the child's bad karma. Because it's his karma. So his mother already suffered too much for him already. Right? The mother had to leave the village and become beggar. I think the mother has done a lot for him already. You don't expect his mother sacrifice his life for him. That's too much. Each person with each person's karma. We come with our own karma. We don't expect other people to sacrifice their life for us. No.
If in that case, if a child is born and the father strike lottery, is it a child's karma?
Maybe the child's blessing. Yeah. This is also true. That's why when the child, when you have a good child in the stomach before give birth, then sometimes your character change. Your character change. It become, you know, better person because of the effect of the child that affects you. It's very common in Buddhist circle. And also when you pregnant, it's better you go temple and listen to more Dharma talk, give more Dharma, then you give a very good son.
It means if the baby is born and somebody suddenly died in the family, also
a karma. Maybe it's also connected with little bit, but I cannot say exactly, unless I'm Buddha, you know? I cannot say exactly. But I think it's little bit connected.
Say that child, such bad karma following throughout life, what could he have done to counteract the bad karma?
To what?
Counteract,
you know,
to lessen the bad karma? Is there any way for him?
Keep on doing good things.
But he was in such a condition.
That's why he strive for Arahant. Because of this suffering, he strive very hard for Arahant. Once he become Arahant, he was free from all this bad karma.
But conditions would be very difficult to come by for him to improve himself, so to speak.
Maybe he only suffer from this hunger. Other thing he may be blessed. For example, he is blessed to meet with Venerable Sariputta. He is blessed to become Samarera or what? Only from this point, because you throw away people's food, people have nothing to eat, so you suffer from hunger, cause and effect. So he only suffer from this hunger. Other thing maybe he is blessed also. Otherwise, he won't meet with Venerable Sariputta. We also cannot meet with Venerable Sariputta, right? Our karma also, see, now we cannot meet with all this Arahant. So he has better karma than us. So you have to see at different angles. Huh?
My question is, we know a better mind bring us happiness, peaceful. So this. Maybe it's from another angle, it's individuals, right? And Shelley also mentioned that and also it helps for a person to grow his wisdom. Shelley, elaborate more, what is the wisdom? We know a better mind, people will get peaceful, will not get affected by the environment. Yeah. What about wisdom?
Okay. So, as I say, just now, a guarded mind bring happiness. How to guard the mind? By way of mindfulness. So mindfulness is compare. Buddha said mindfulness is like protector. Protect the mind. Buddha said mindfulness is like gatekeeper. Always block the stranger, don't come in. Only accept those who he knows. So all the wholesome one we accept, all the unwholesome one we kick out. So like gatekeeper, like protector of the mind. But after mindfulness, let's say, when the anger arises in me, I know this anger arises in me. So this is called mindfulness. But later on, you apply wisdom. How? You see anger as impermanent. What is the meaning of wisdom? Wisdom means seeing three characteristics. Anicca, dukkha, anatta. Impermanent, suffering, and non-self. So after applying mindfulness, okay, the mind is The mind is affected by anger as a mind affected by anger. This is only mindfulness. Later on, you contemplate the mind affected by anger is impermanent, 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 impermanent. This wisdom. Then, or you affect, the mind affected by anger is just an effect of a cause. Huh? What is the cause? Oh, because of harsh word. The harsh word that impinged my ear. And because of this unpleasant ear contact, then trigger the anger. So this anger, the state, the anger mind is the effect of certain cause. Then that cause also impermanent, how can the effect permanent? All this are wisdom. Investigation of the Dharma. The seventh factor of enlightenment, the second one, Dharma Vichaya. Investigation of Dharma. So we investigate why this anger arises. Oh, because of cause, and this anger is effect. Then cause is impermanent, how can the effect permanent? So we contemplate impermanent, impermanent both. Cause also impermanent, effect also impermanent. Then finally, when the nature, wisdom become more mature, you really see it pass away, subsides. This wisdom. Then you have more confidence in the Dharma already. You see, just now I was so angry, and when I contemplate, I can see the anger subside, disappear from my mind, and become cool. Then one time you win over your refinement, you win over your anger, your greed, your jealousy, and you have the confidence in the Dharma. Then you know the method well, works well. So every time you apply this mindfulness, then later on you contemplate, wisdom contemplate impermanent, wisdom contemplate cause and effect, wisdom contemplate non-self, then you see it really disappear in your mind. This is how we develop mindfulness and wisdom. I remember I had one student when I was in USA, one American student. She herself is Dharma teacher. So she come for my retreat. And my teaching, I always teach contemplate impermanence. This is my Zhao Pai. Zhao Pai teaching. Always ask my student contemplate impermanence, because this is how I practice, right? So one day, this American student, the moment she get up, she got so much anger. She doesn't know where the anger comes from. She said, my gosh, today I got so much anger, sure I cannot meditate. The whole day gone already. But suddenly she remember, I teach them to contemplate impermanence of your mental state. Anger is a mental state. And she said, why not I try? Although I may have not faith, but now I have no choice. So why not I try? So she tried, she contemplate anger as impermanent, anger as impermanent, anger as impermanent. Very soon, the anger subsided. She was so happy. She thought today gone already, 24 hours, don't know how to cope with the anger. But the moment she contemplate anger is impermanent, anger is impermanent, then the anger subsides. Then she quickly come for interview and tell me how happy she is. Then she said, when she go back home, she want to write on many, many papers and put all over her house to remind her to contemplate impermanent when all this refinement arise in her. This is for wisdom. So wisdom contemplate impermanent, wisdom investigate cause and effect, wisdom contemplate non-self, and so on.
Can you please elaborate a little bit more on this indefinite karma? How does one classify indefinite karma?
Indefinite karma means that the karma you perform, this karma will leave behind tendency. You leave behind the tendency along your mind and body, along the samsara. You know samsara?
Give an example.
Just now the story I give. Because one lifetime, one lifetime we throw away the food offered to others. And this is called unwholesome karma. And this unwholesome karma leave behind energy. This energy will follow this person, will follow his mind and body. So whenever he take rebirth, whether in the health or as a human being, you know, this energy follow him And when the unfavorable condition ripen, and this energy will bear fruit, then he has to suffer the karma he has done previously. If he throw away people's food, then he has to suffer hunger. If he kill other people, then he has to suffer short life. And if he stole other people's past life, he stole property of others, then he had to suffer being stolen, his property being stolen. And this will follow him from life to life. But not every life, this karma will ripen. It also depends on the favorable condition. When the favorable condition ripen, then this bad karma will ripen, then he had to suffer. And from life to life until he become arahant. And if this karma still operating, then after become arahant, he still have to suffer the same thing. Yes, very frightening. Karma is very frightening. That's why Buddha say, avoid evil, do good. Not because Buddha is so busybody, no. Because he know, if you do evil, you suffer endlessly. Out of compassion, Buddha say, avoid evil for your own good. Do good also for your good. Sometimes we say that we do dana. We do dana. We give away our money. It seems that we have lost some money, right? But no. This karma energy is there, and this karma energy will follow us from life to life. Then we will be blessed. But whenever we come to this world, we will be blessed by rich. Property, blessing, and so on. So, as a Buddhist practitioner, we must be very far-sighted. Don't only see this present life. We have so many life to come.
You see present karma and indefinite karma. What's the middle one?
Next life karma.
Next life karma.
This tree. You want to know more, you can read my book, Unraveling of Mystery of Mind, through Abhidhamma. You can order in my center, from my center also. I explain a lot about this one.
Is it online?
You write an email to them, then they will send my post. Unraveling the Mystery of Mind and Body through Abhidhamma. Or you can go to Amazon.com, I put now. But Amazon is US, you have to pay US dollars. You can get it from my center.
What is your center?
You go to my website, xiaolesusila.net. Okay, request from him. He is my committee board member. Anyone want to get this book, later on you can ask from him. Unraveling the Mystery of Mind and Body. It's quite a popular book. In Singapore, many people request for this book also. Okay, any other question? Yes, yes.
I'm following up on my wife's question on karma.
Okay.
Just your comment or your wife or opinion of this. I'm giving an illustration like now, all of us, you know, being a Buddhist, praying, learning to be more wise. Peaceful.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But along the way, I come across occasions where some of my close friends, they got converted to other religions. Now, being Buddhist, you learn to be sort of asking, guiding your mind, and whatever, and suddenly you chuck away something which is very important, and then you go to something which is, I call, illusion.
Okay.
Because you believe in God, and is God.
Yeah.
Right? Now, is this conversion to another religion due to lack of wisdom, or is it because of karma that you have to live another life?
That's very difficult.
Okay. This question has been asked many times. At least many people ask me this question. Okay. Before I answer you, let me tell you one story first. When I went to Indonesia, one of the devotees, Indonesian devotees, asked me. He said that many devotees, Buddhist devotees, when they meet with misery of life, hardship of life, or some accident or some misery happened in his family, by loss of relative, or any misery that happened in them, then they will go to the temple. They will go to the temple and consult the monk. And most of the monk will answer, "This is your karma." Okay? Most of the monk will answer, "This is your karma." And the Indonesian devotees told me that when we heard that the monk said that "this is my karma," I want to change to Christian. I immediately want to become Christian. If I go to the Christian temple, then the Christian will say, "Oh, God will save you. Ah, how soothing, so soothing." And if they say, "This is your karma," oh, I got to bear the responsibility. It's a very heavy burden. So from this point, from his answer, I start to understand psychologically human mind. Before that, I never understand why people can be converted to Christian. Only when this Indonesian told me that this point, I start to understand why people being converted to converting to Christian. Because as you say, when you say, okay, what your suffering, the misery in your life, whatever hardship you encounter in your life, God will save you. Only this word, you feel that you find something you can hold already. You don't have to care so many things. God will take care of me. How comfort it is. As because of this reason. But Buddhist monk told, "No, this is your karma." Then you take, then you will say that, "Am I so bad in my past?" No, I don't think I'm so bad in my past. You cannot accept the bad karma you have performed in the past. You don't want to accept it. You don't think you are a bad person in the past. Although this lifetime, you may be a very good person. Right? But you don't want to accept you are bad in the past. So when monk told you, "It's your karma," you just hate it. So you better find another one which you feel much soothing, much comforting. This is the reason. The faith is not strong. Secondly, the faith and wisdom is not strong. Third, the ego is there. You want to listen sweet words. You want to take the responsibility onto yourself. This is mostly human nature. Therefore, I always say that those who come Buddhist are very courageous, strong mind. Otherwise, you cannot become Buddhist, I tell you. I have go over all over the world. Those who sick one, meet with accident, misery in life, mostly turn to Christian. Because simply one word, "God save you." Then they feel that they find a hope. They don't have to carry the burden on themselves. So all these are called timid mind. The mind has no courage. So therefore, what for? Let them go, never mind. No problem. So Buddhist, as a Buddhist, you need strong courage. Otherwise, you cannot. When you meet with misery in life, you cannot face it. Only by strong faith in the law of karma, then you can accept it. Otherwise, it will change to other religion. Because we don't want to believe we are a bad person in the past. I tell you another story. There's one story written from one Taiwanese. She's very good in seeing other people's past life, including her own past life. So one day, in this present life, she's such a beautiful, helpful, sweet woman. So one day when she saw her past life, she was a married woman, and she stayed with another, I don't know how to call it in English. She married to a man. To her husband. Her husband's brother's wife. How to call? Sister-in-law. So she cannot cope well with her sister-in-law. So one day, when she was, and her sister-in-law always gossip about her to her mother-in-law. So her mother-in-law didn't treat well. So one day in the kitchen, while she was cutting a vegetable, then the sister-in-law also came again and necking in her ear. So at that time, she lost her temper, cannot control anymore, cannot cut her mind anymore. Okay, then she take a knife, kill the sister-in-law. So is it a mind without God, a mind is how heavy is the consequences. So she killed her sister-in-law. Of course, then she was sent to what is the punishment. Then when she saw her past life, she was so shocked. She says, this lifetime, I was so good person, good-hearted, always help people, so beautiful, so sweet. How can I believe I killed people in my past life? She cannot believe also. Similarly, I'm telling this story. So when you meet with the misery in life, when mom tell you this is your karma, you cannot accept it because you cannot see your past life. But this lady, because she see her past life on her own, she had to accept. So she accept, we are not good all the time. Sometimes, we cannot control our mind. That's why a guarded mind brings happiness. And without guarded mind, even you are a good person, when the anger arises, you lose your normal consciousness. You are no more yourself. You just act out of defilements only. Only after that you may feel remorse because you already lose your normal consciousness. Therefore, don't always think that we are good in the past also. We may good in the present life, but we may not good in the past. Therefore, in the past we may have done many akusala karma, evil karma that sometimes ripen in this lifetime. So when ripen in this lifetime, we have to reflect the law of karma. We just pay off the debt on it. We have to bear with it patiently with the understanding. And this karma also will be exhausted one. Sometimes the karma exhausted. You don't pay off this lifetime, maybe next life. Later or sooner or later you have to pay off. So if you can understand this law of karma, you will not be converted into Krishna. Right? Am I answering your question?
Yeah.
I have seen so many told me this experience.
Faith, sorry.
Yeah, sorry, faith, and also strong mind. Your mind must be strong. Those converted to Christian, the mind is not strong.
Many convert at the deathbed.
Yeah, that's what I say, man. When the misery come only. When the misery come, they converted. If they are happy, they won't convert to Christian. Because they feel helpless, so they want to hold something.
Because they said Jesus is waiting for you, and you are going to die. So that is very, very
important. Yes.
Nowadays, every morning in the Malaysia got the exercise, the Christian one, singing, happy, it's open.
Then we cannot do anything. They cannot do anything. We better take care of our Buddhist. Buddhism. Take care of ourselves, don't be converted.
Taking the cue from your explanation, that karma has got nothing to do from one's conclusion to another's solution.
Yeah.
Nothing, it's wisdom.
Yeah, wisdom. Faith and wisdom. Faith and wisdom too. And when in the USA, when I talk about this karma, I say that in Buddhist scripture, sometimes we are born in hell, sometimes we are born in heaven, but after karma exhausted in heaven, we will drop down or become human being or hell again. Or in hell, when karma exhausted, we will take, when the karma born in hell exhausted, then we will go up to become human again. And my audience, because they are Christian based, they said, oh, so good, I see the hope. Because Christians say once you die in hell, you need always forever in hell. There's no hope. But in Buddhist teaching, there's hope. When the karma exhausted, then you come out again to become human being. Right? But in Christian, there's no hope. Hell's always permanent. So they feel very why nowadays many Americans like Buddhist teaching? Because they see the hope. And also they don't believe the God saved me. They don't believe. If they believe, they won't become Buddhist already. If they believe, they will not be converted to Buddhist. Maybe most Asians are converted to Christian, but many Americans also now become Buddhist. So you don't see if Asian only not only focus on Asian, but see bigger view. And when American become Buddhist, then it's very powerful because their country is very advanced.
Can I add something? I've been always telling friends and wives, in the near future, the Asians will go as priests and reverends and what to teach the Americans over there on the Christianity.
Yeah.
Not on Buddhism, on Christianity. Mm.
Because, and also another reason why Americans like Buddhists, because Buddhists emphasize on wisdom. American are wisdom type person. Asian are faith oriented. Western is wisdom oriented. And the Buddhist teaching is wisdom oriented. Okay.
By the way, you were mentioning about being mindful, that means practice mindfulness as well as practicing wisdom. Mindfulness can be developed through meditation, right?
Meditation is to develop mindfulness.
Then what about wisdom? Do we develop wisdom by doing something or practicing something? Or actually, were we born with wisdom?
No,
some people naturally more wise to properly pass their lives.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So maybe that wisdom, the factor of wisdom is natural?
No, some are natural. Some are born wiser than others. It's true, right? But some wisdom need to be developed.
How do we develop this wisdom?
That's why you go to meditation retreat. To develop wisdom, there are three ways to develop wisdom. I'm going to give this talk on the Nalanda Chedi. Afternoon, 2 o'clock. Very long to explain. There are three ways to develop wisdom. One is through hearing the Dhamma talk. One is through by wise reflection, yoniso manasikara. Another one is by meditation.
Xavier, can you come here too another day?
Then I don't know yet. So you want to listen Chinese one? You can go to JB, Nalanda JB. Okay.
Can you come back and
keep
talking?
You must have pity on me. Very tiring, but it's worth it. Otherwise, you give in to the bad action, then the karma follow you until arahant. No? So that effort is, you need very strong effort.
How about if we use like sleeping to overcome it?
Sleeping. That's called down the sun. Opposite with wisdom. Opposite with wisdom. Last question.
11:30
already, last question. And who want to
ask
the last question?
So how to overcome the sloth and
talk?
Like sleeping
mind?
During
meditation or yes. What? Then you better come from a retreat. Because I have way to teach now, time so short. Then also have to put into real practice. Now I teach you, soon you forget. The way I share one is very practical and useful. That's my American student also told me. He every time used the way I teach, and he said very successful to overcome slow and talk. Okay. Since I talked about a retreat, I have a 24 days retreat in my center, beginning
24.
July. July plus under 24. You can come, maybe come 2 weeks if you cannot fog and it may come after the abdomen course. Just how long?
8 hours.
You can go to my website, xialeisusila.net. You get the information if you want to register fast because I accept only 30%
in English, Xiaolei?
No, not in English. In Chinese, sorry, because I accept Chinese people. Yes?
May I ask how to prepare one's mind before going to a retreat?
How to prepare one's mind before going to retreat? Cool down your mind first. Don't eat so much. Because retreat is 2 meals. Then don't sleep too late at night first. Otherwise, you cannot adapt to the... Because we sleep early, get up early. Then 2 meals. So you must sleep early first, don't eat so much first, don't listen to music first, don't make up first. Because in the retreat you cannot make up, cannot listen to music. All this you have to prepare first. And cool down first. Before 1 week, don't let yourself too busy first. If you let yourself too busy, then after you go to retreat, you only find yourself sleepiness. Because the mind tired, suddenly quiet down, then the mind wants to sleep. Then you waste your time. So prepare 1 week first. Okay, that's all. Okay, transfer merit now.
So we'd like to say a very big thank you to Xia Li and a cable message to everyone from Xia Li. A guided mind brings happiness. And Xia Dao has shared with us the tools that is mindfulness of mind and wisdom. So let us all put this into practice. And thank you.